it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Victory Monday, noon hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Back-to-back NFL no huddles to kick off the noon hour in just a minute, as we always do on Mondays, to make sure we can spend as much time on all the games as possible. Two Monday Night Football games tonight.
Yeah, man.
Two, by the way. The Buccaneers at the Texans and the Chargers at the Raiders. So week two is not over. And then we'll get to some phone calls at 12:40. Phone lines are working great. Falcons win. Perfect opportunity to open up the phone lines and talk to Falcons fans at 1240, 404-726-0929 in about 40 minutes.
It's another big night out there in Vegas, man. What a great fight night. Obviously, Terrence Crawford does beat Canelo Alvarez. Just an absolute boxing clinic he put on. Just a boxing clinic that I did not know that. But I know Bud's a great fighter, but I just thought just to going up 2 pounds. Last time I saw somebody go that high, I'm sure there's other ones. I remember when Roy Jones went up to heavyweight and won. You know, but yeah, shout out to Bud. I thought that, you know, it's a masterful, masterful fight that he had against Canelo. Now, that damn thing ain't come on 12:45. And after the all-day Saturday of running around, standing up, overtime game, Georgia, my wife and I had a movie night out in the backyard with all her friends. So me and the dad sat downstairs and was drinking too much tequila too late in the day. Too much tequila too late in the day.
Yeah.
I just said it like that.
That'll make a 12:45 boxing match feel pretty late.
Yeah, yeah, dog. So I was like, oh, God, hang in there, Andy. Come on, dog. You know, when you'd be so tired, you can want to walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me last night.
Yeah, to keep yourself awake.
Trying to watch the second half of the Falcons game.
Yeah, man. I was like, but I'm going to get there. We're going to hang in there. But, yeah, just an unbelievable fight. Shout out to Bud for that.
When's the last time you drank a 40?
Like the 40 ounce? Like, I drink the big deuces.
No, like a 40 ounce.
Like a hell of a 40?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's been quite a long time, Andy.
I could say the same up until Saturday.
What'd you have?
It was a High Life, I think.
Hell yeah.
Thank God it wasn't malt liquor. I would have been even worse shape. But yeah, whatever bar we stumbled into on Saturday night with our friends in Savannah, they were like, oh, we got to go to this one. I got a surprise for you. And I was like, all right, that sounds great. Just right. As long as they have TVs, we can watch the late games and all that. And he comes back from the bar with a big brown paper bag for me, him, and another friend of ours.
Y'all split it?
No.
Oh.
Each.
Oh, I was like, well, y'all like plastic?
We're 17.
Oh.
Yeah, so restart the clock on that one.
Hell yeah.
Been a while. I don't know if you're supposed to drink 40s when you are 40, but
hey. Hey, dog. Damn with it. Because you were probably going to drink 40 ounces of beer anyway.
Yeah.
So just keep it all consolidated.
It's only three.
Yeah.
You know?
I ain't mad at you, dog. Keep it all consolidated right there, dog. Hey, go on about your business, man.
Hadn't done it in a while.
Had a good time, though.
We had a great time. It was like the end of the Georgia Tech game when they had to scramble to get the field goal with no timeouts left.
Yeah.
That was our Saturday.
Yeah.
We got up, we had a birthday party for our neighbor who turned one. Beautiful birthday party and really, really fun. The kids loved it. And grandparents got there about noon. We hit the road about one, straight to Savannah, right into town, booked the hotel on the way, all that. Roll into town, went to a bar we know we like so we could get the second half, the end of the first half of the Georgia game.
Right.
Halftime, we walked and met up with some other friends, got to see the second half at a couple different bars, because why not, you know, why just go to one?
Exactly.
Experience all of what Savannah has to offer. So we did that, went to the concert. Concert was great. Went back out afterwards.
Oh, y'all just grown.
I mean, we're dumb.
Yeah, y'all just grown.
My bad influence of a wife buying people fireball shots at last call, which is another thing I haven't done in a long time.
Hell yeah.
So that happened. And then whatever time we get back to the hotel, alarm goes off at 5:30.
Yep.
Take a shower, hit the road because we had to be back for Lily's first choir performance at church. And we were there. And
there
She crushed it. She was great.
That's great.
She was very, very good.
That's great. Proud of her.
So yesterday afternoon, wait for a tailgate show. I'm like, all right, let's just get through this couple hours, and then we're home free.
Yeah, man.
And we did it.
That's how I was like, I just got to find me a nap somewhere. And I just fell asleep. I was like, baby, just I'm just going to lay right here on the floor. They want me to cook. Obviously, because her sister, my niece is in town. Man, I was sleep on the floor. Sleep on the floor. And, like, lost track of time, sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was great. It was a great weekend. Glad everybody had one as the Falcons. They won a game. Like, they usually lose those games. Like, when they were up 12, when they were up 6, I'm like, okay, so what's going to happen? J.J. McCarthy's going to throw one up to Justin Jefferson. He's going to jump over somebody's head because A.J. Terrell's not there, and they're going to lose this game 12-13.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't feel comfortable with it just because of all of the scar tissue and all of that. I mean, even the Justin Jefferson heave at the end of the first half that got them into field goal range,
what
I was like, come on, guys.
What
like,
a route.
Just of all the Falcons things you could do is to surrender all the momentum right at the end of the first half and let them get right back in with a field goal. And, again, it didn't matter because they were able to bottle up J.J. McCarthy the whole game. But, it was 12-6 at one point in the late in the second half. It is like this game should be way more than this. Should not be a one-score game at this point. And yet it was, but they were able to prevail. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
With Sykes.
A lot of headlines from the win for sure. I think probably my favorite thing was all six of these, including this one here.
Mason. Play fake McCarthy. Looking to throw. Walker got him. Jalen Walker. It's the third sack of McCarthy in his first half. And the Falcons' first round pick puts his name in the book.
Sykes.
Six of them.
Yeah, man. Oh. Love it. Love watching Jalen get his first sack.
That was a nice move.
I mean, he just beat the hell out of the tackle. Yeah. Beat him up. Then you saw James Pierce come around on a stunt. Yeah, they end up giving him a half and not a whole sack. Damn it. But
hey, when you're desperate for sacks,
it don't matter.
A half a sack will do.
From what I've
By the way, that's 20% of their sack total from last year.
Yes, unbelievable.
In one game.
Yes, they played well. They just kept attacking. The turnovers were there. They were able to intercept the ball off of him. Should have had like 3 or 4 more of them.
Yep.
You know, but I thought just the way that they just pressured him, I thought – definitely the way they were able to run the football. I thought the offensive line played really well. They had some moments, but I think for the most part, they were opening up holes. And one thing, if you don't know, Bijan don't need a big one. Bijan does not need a big hole because
Bijan.
He's going to get through it. And he shakes people in the phone booth.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like his stop start, his acceleration. Dude.
I mean, he makes some of the best athletes in the world fall.
Yes.
Like, just from, oh, God, he's over there now.
Yes.
Like, Algier runs with, like, disrespectful
power.
Violence.
Yes.
Bijan runs with disrespectful change of direction, and it's fun to watch both of them go. They both had really nice performances yesterday. Bijan goes for 22 carries, 143 yards. Algier goes 16 carries, 76 yards, and that's over 200 between the two of them. Just beautiful. Yes. Beautiful to see the way that week one went, that they were able to bounce right back and do that. And then this funny moment after the game, as the new kicker met one of his teammates.
And I know you're learning your teammates' names. You know their names, right?
I know Bijan.
This is Leonard Floyd over here. You guys want it? Nice to meet you. Back to you guys.
Parker Romo went 5 for 5 and then met Leonard Floyd after the game.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Leonard had him a nice day.
He had him a nice day, man.
I think, you know, and I read the stat earlier that I saw Rex Ryan was talking about this morning. Rex said they had 11 rushers. No. 11 rushes, you had at least 5 rushes.
That's insane.
That's unbelievable.
So 11 different guys were after the quarterback 5 times.
Yes, at least. Yes. Unbelievable. I thought Devon Diablo was outstanding again. Yep. Thought Kane Ellis, they play so well together. And Kane Ellis is so much better when they're allowing him to attack. Mm-hmm. He's not the best. I'm going to sit right here and play in the middle like that. He is at his best when they got him attacking and blitzing. And he is one of the best at linebacker that does it. I think just the biggest thing was, nobody – and they have not said anything about A.J. Terrell's injury. Just me looking at it, it seems like he's going to miss some time, how he grabbed that hamstring.
Yeah.
So just hopefully it's not something that's going to be out for the – like, let's hope it's not an IR thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a couple weeks and get him back out there by – maybe with the bye coming up early, maybe that's a way that you can get him an extra week and then bring him back afterwards. But or who knows? I mean, maybe he's okay and he plays this weekend. We don't know. But I'm with you. Just the way that it looked and knowing how hamstrings are kind of finicky.
Yeah.
Drake played week one but got banged up.
Yeah.
Mooney hadn't played. They both did play yesterday. I thought they both looked a bit rusty in different ways.
Yes.
Drake didn't look right.
No, he did not. He got the ball poked out but then had a great play on his second and 21. Just an inside double slant. Kyle opens the hole for him. He was, and you know, he gets through. I thought Kyle played good when he got opportunities.
Yeah, again, you know,
I mean, they had him isolated on backside with the one on one with a reduced split. He ran the slant. He ran the little option route, stop seven. I was like, okay,
yeah, he's running some
okay, that's what I'm saying.
When they're putting him out there, yeah, you know, they're letting him get out there in some space. It's interesting. This is the second week in a row where I think last week, what did he have? Seven catches.
Yep,
eight six targets.
Yep.
This week, four catches on five targets. So when they throw it to him, he's catching it.
He's catching the ball.
You could throw it to him a little more, though. Like, yeah. he looks ready to roll.
Yeah, man. But I think the biggest thing, and not the biggest thing, everybody knows what the biggest thing yesterday was, the inability to score touchdowns in the red zone. I thought a couple of times, I thought Michael could have held it a little longer. I thought a couple of times. Sometimes I thought the receiver, you got to win your route quicker. You know, so there's going to be certain things like that, but this is something you mentioned it earlier. If you can make corrections off of a win, it's always better. I thought they covered their ass off on special teams. Mm. That was a big issue last week, and obviously the field goals. Young Romo, 5 for 5. when he raised his hands, I was like, so it is good.
They got
the first thing I saw, Andy, I was like, damn it!
I know
this mother.
When that ball came off his foot, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
There's no freaking way.
But they called it good.
They called it good.
And that's all he needed for his confidence. And then they did replay it later and showed different angles and whatever, man.
Yeah,
you can't review kicks. And it was 10 minutes later anyway when they started showing those replays.
Yeah.
But you could see his confidence grow throughout the game.
Yes.
His second one split the uprights, and he was good on the next two. And then, 54 to put the game out of reach in the fourth quarter.
54 just like, Andy, like nothing.
See, that's what blows me away. And that's what was so irritating about, one of the many irritating things about Koo the last couple of years, like, these kickers these days, like 50 plus is a layup. This guy for the Cowboys, Aubrey?
Dude.
He hit a 64-yarder that would have been good from 75.
He kicked the hell out of that damn ball.
To send it to overtime.
He kicked the hell out of that damn ball.
That guy's cheating. Like, yes. I don't know what he's doing.
I mean, he do a lot of one-leg exercises.
Must do it. I don't know. He's got good cleats. I don't know.
Dude, he smacked the hell out that damn ball, man.
It's crazy.
But I think, I mean, it's a week-to-week business. We understand that. They didn't even bring Young Wei on the trip, dog. They said, we got one seat left and it's yours. We need our new kicker to sit there.
Yeah, he's got
to
sit there.
He's got to sit there.
Where is he going to sit?
Where can I sit? You can sit in the middle seat between Dave and Arch.
I think that's Bo's seat.
That's Bo's seat. Put the little guy in the middle.
Who can't sit in Bo's seat?
Yeah, put the little guy in the middle.
Bo's got to do the pregame show and produce the broadcast.
Oh, man. What time did Big Mike get out of here last night?
I don't know.
Woo.
Big
Mike just stayed here?
Oh.
Hell yeah. Good for you.
Wow.
Good for you.
He was mad at me yesterday because of that. They were going to have to be here all night and all of that. And he was like, and you guys, your pregame show is only an hour. Because that Cowboys-Giants game went to overtime, and every second of overtime, they made their winning field goal as time expired in overtime. And Wade Ford doesn't come on until that first game's over. And we got to take the postgame show. We can't short the postgame show.
Man.
So we didn't come on until 5. So we only did an hour. And for those of you that heard the story about what I did Saturday night, that was just the universe looking out for me.
Yeah, man.
Because I don't think I had 2 hours in me yesterday.
You think you had 2 hours of Wade Ford in your brother?
I don't think I did.
Man,
I had 1 hour in me.
Shout out to Big Mike, them staying up late. Mike said, Big Mike slept here. Now, Mike ain't no little dude. Where he sleep at? Ain't no couch big enough for him.
I think he has a blow-up mattress. He's got an air mattress.
He slept in our office? Good for him.
That Cowboys-Giants game was pretty fun, by the
way. Dude, Russ was cooking.
He was awesome
That cost him the game. I don't know the hell he was throwing that ball.
But he threw for 450. It was his best yardage performance in his career.
Yeah, dog. Sports Radio 929 The Game is home of live college football coverage in Atlanta this Saturday starting at 8. We will get the day started with college football game time brought to you by Window Nations. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall Shop, UGA, I'm not going to say the other school teams, and more in their fan shop. John Frick, my man, Abe Gordon, Chris Goforth, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for the big matchups. And then Saturday night we'll have Miami taking on Florida, which I still can't believe he threw 4 touchdowns. Following the Atlanta United match.
Who did?
4 interceptions.
5.
5. He threw 5?
Five, right?
Gracious, yeah.
5. Yeah. Okay. 4 touchdowns is a lot different than 5 interceptions.
Yeah, but make sure you guys tune in. Starting at 8, college football game time here on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Yeah, we'll talk about the DJ Lagway performance in the 1 o'clock hour for sure. Or maybe that means a great LSU defensive performance. Those guys can go, man. The They fixed it. We mentioned that Giants-Cowboys game. We'll come back and get you caught up on as many of the other games from yesterday as possible. NFL No Huddle Round 2 next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No Huddle Round 2 here on a Victory Monday afternoon. Hour 2, noon hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll get the phone lines open for Falcons fans in 20 minutes as well to react to yesterday or last night's win over the Minnesota Vikings, 404-726-0929. So get ready to call in and sound off on yesterday's win. Let's get back into some of the games that took place yesterday, though. We talked a bit about the Giants and Cowboys game. That game was insane. Cowboys win in overtime, 40-37. Brandon Audrey made about a mile's worth of kicks. Russell Wilson had the best game I've seen him have in years.
Yes.
Yes. But wasn't enough. Yep. Cowboys still got him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at Russ, he held off the Jackson Dart talks for another week.
Yep.
They played really good. It's unfortunate the last throw, you know, just threw the ball away. You know, but just I mean that throw right there to end the game, what you thought was the game-winning touchdown, just a hell of a throw.
It's a great
hell
throw.
Of a catch, too. Concentration by Malik Nabers, who had another big damn game yesterday.
He hit Wandale Robinson on a very similar throw in the fourth quarter.
Like Dallas, without that pass rush, their safeties, because with Bland, who's out, and Diggs, who's finally coming back.
Yeah,
like,
those guys were getting cooked.
They're getting
cooked. It was tough.
Cooked.
The Jaguars lose to the Bengals, 31-27. Let's listen to probably the biggest moment from that game, though, from the second quarter.
Burrow catches a shotgun snap, pump fakes, and Joe will be sacked at the 35-yard line. Eric Armstead pulling him down by the feet. And Burrow's limping badly. Joe takes his helmet off and sits down on the turf.
Well, hopefully he just kind of rolled an ankle a little bit, and that's what he's kind of he's pointing at that left ankle.
Jake Browning begins warming up. Now Burrow lays down on his back, and the training staff is looking at his lower left leg.
Yeah, man, surgery.
Yeah. Grade three.
Turf toe? Yeah. So he's
3 month surgery.
Yeah. So he's going to be out. Might as well, get it
the
done.
The surgery won't take 3 months.
Yeah.
He'll have surgery and then be out for 3 months.
Yeah. And they like their backup situation. Jake Browning came in two years ago when he broke, whenever he got hurt with that time. Yeah. That's the thing with Joe. As good as he is, he ain't completed a lot of full seasons.
He does
get
hurt.
And it's unfortunate. I thought that the game was a good game. I thought that they did call a bull crap pass interference call on Travis Hunter that kept a drive alive. But yeah, he has the arsenal to be fine as long as he don't blow it. And,
yeah,
I mean, he threw three damn interceptions.
He threw three picks yesterday. And they still won the game.
Jacksonville need to be ashamed of himself.
Yeah,
Jacksonville should be ashamed of
himself. That's right. Bengals did what they intended to do this year, though. Started out 2-0.
Yeah,
because they had been getting in holes now. They probably would rather be 1-1 and have Joe Burrow.
Yes,
but
exactly.
You don't get to choose that sort of stuff. The Lions beat the absolute hell out of the Bears.
You want to talk about like a rub it in statement?
Yeah.
Dan, they were complete control of the game, and he throws a touchdown on fourth down when you're up by four touchdowns.
Uh huh.
That's just like telling. Well, are you mad at Ben Johnson? Man?
I don't know.
Like he wanted to. But this is a point where they got to show. Okay, I'll show you how good we are.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yes.
That was they're not mad at Ben Johnson.
Everybody thinks it's
they're mad at the narrative.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Watch this. Went off jerk off 5 touchdowns, 3 of them to Amon. And I thought, you know, they ran the ball well. Jameer Gibbs had a nice day.
Yep.
James Williams had a big play.
Everybody did. They scored 52 points.
Everybody had a day. And then defensively, I don't think Caleb played bad. I just think he's getting better. You know, and it's unfortunate that he's playing on a bad team that can't stop no damn body.
Odunze had a hell of a day. 2 touchdowns.
They got him in that. They got him in that. What did they say? The Amon St. Brown type. His mode. I thought it would be more Luther Burton in that role, but yeah, he's getting better. You're finding your niche with your weapons if you're Caleb. But there's still things they got to work on, and they just can't stop anybody.
A couple things kind of jump out, and it's only 2 weeks, so obviously a lot can change, but. Lions had the performance they had week one, and everybody panicked. Maybe the Packers defense is going to do that to people.
Maybe, because they did it the following week.
And then
4 days later.
That Bears-Vikings game looked the way it looked for a reason.
Yeah.
And the Bears and Vikings are both kind of not great.
Yeah. And that's a possibility. And that's a real possibility with Minnesota, especially because we saw firsthand last night their quarterback, he's young. And he plays young, and he does young stuff, and hanging on to the football. But another thing we talked about in the keys is he's a very athletic kid, very athletic kid. But I thought the Falcons, just being as young as he is and having the pressure to put on him, it made him force him into mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about Friday. Both quarterbacks are young. You just can't look young. Penix didn't. J.J. did. Looked
real
young.
Got to grow fast.
Got to grow up fast. All right, here's James Cook with a ridiculous run. Hopefully the call does it justice because it was crazy.
Cook, the lone setback. Here's the snap. It's another handoff. Cook going to cut it back through a hole. Dodges a defender. Up and out the gate to the races. Down to the 20. 10, 5, touchdown, James Cook. 44 big ones for the score.
What a freaking run.
The call did it justice. Nicely done.
What a freaking run, incredible. Man. To say that they're glad that he got his money so he can go into camp. This dude is, I mean, I know you got Josh Allen, but yeah, Cookie has been just a baller these last few years, man. And now he got the new money, and he just left off right where he was. I didn't know if he was going to play because he had a hamstring type thing they were talking about before the game. So obviously he got a chance to go in there and play, and they just absolutely just beat the hell out of the sorry-ass Jets, who rightfully so, AG took it on the chin. Like, I didn't have him ready to play, yeah. And it looked like it. Justin Fields goes out with a concussion. Even if you stayed in, it was going to be bad. Even if you stayed in, it was going to be bad. I just thought that the Bills just punched him in the face. Punched him in the face, yep. Right in the football.
It's 20-3 at halftime.
Yeah, Josh Allen got poked in the eye or something. Mm-hmm. And so they play this Thursday against a team in Miami that just found a way to lose the game yesterday.
Yeah,
just
things are
– just found a way to lose the game.
Things are bad in Miami. Yeah. The Patriots beat them 33-27. I mean, good for the Patriots. They get their first win of the year, but the Dolphins are now 0-2. Yeah. And again, like you said, had every opportunity to win that football game, yeah. And they didn't. 49ers beat the Saints with Mac Jones at quarterback.
God dog it.
Tough way to go out.
Tough
man.
Way to go out down in New Orleans, man. Yeah, look back. You look like your original self in the all home blacks, painted the end zone back the same way. And then you let Mac Jones, of all people.
Who? Mac Jones.
Yes.
Seahawks beat the Steelers by 2 touchdowns. Ken Walker healthy.
When he's right.
Walker good.
When Kenneth Walker is healthy and they're giving him the football, this dude is a top – he is a top flight runner.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's so good, but when he's healthy and they do a better job getting the ball. This was a close game till it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. 17 points in the fourth quarter for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Win by 2 touchdowns in Pittsburgh after the way Pittsburgh played week one. Yeah. That's nice.
For Aaron, one. I mean, then you have a bonehead play by the young returner. The ball is it's a kickoff, son. It's a kickoff, son. You have to get on that football, man. And you know, Aaron Rodgers threw 2 interceptions. One of them, I mean, if Austin makes the play, then it's a touchdown. But it goes off his hands right into hand for the Seahawks. And I mean, what do you think? I mean, DK got his first touchdown. Again, the Seahawks, which is great.
DK revenge game.
Yeah, they lost.
Steelers aren't going to be all that great.
I don't think so.
The Ravens destroyed the Browns, not surprisingly, but, you know, insult the injury on 30 years of Baltimore Day or whatever.
Yeah.
They had Ogden and Ray Lewis out there with the Super Bowl trophies. Yeah. Just everything they could, every petty thing they could do.
Petty.
And then they beat them 41-17.
Then they beat their ass. But, I mean, just the pettiness of it, you know, because – it wasn't the exact day of 30 years. It's the 30-year anniversary, but you didn't have to have it.
You could have done it any game.
You could have done it in any damn game. But it's first home game of the season.
True.
So you want to get that in, you know, and so, yeah.
All right, here's Travis Kelce dropping a pass that would have been pretty helpful in the outcome of the game.
Blitz, Mahomes over the middle, Kelce. Oh, it's picked off! It's Makuba who's got it, and room to run! One man to beat!
Incredible, Patrick makes a great throw. On the angle route, Travis just a little late getting his head around. Perfect place to throw the ball if you're Patrick and McCoy. Johnny on the spot.
They got
to
make that play. He knows that he's an all-time great. He got to make that. I know it's a hard catch. Ball's coming in hot.
Yeah.
But he got to make that play. You got to make that play, dog. They got no answers offensively for anything because they can't run the football. And all they're waiting for Patrick to do something crazy for them to win football games, man. But they got some issues. Philly didn't play great offensively. But they made the plays when they had to. They got the push in, which was a bunch of crap because everybody was offsides on the offense.
They They all started early.
They all started early.
But they all started early, so it didn't look, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like, if you're the ref in real time, it's hard to see because everybody went at the same
except
time.
Except for the center. He didn't stop the ball. Center.
That's right.
Which was awful. But, yeah, the Eagles 2-0, you get them any way you can, man. You get them any way you can. And to go into Arrowhead and get that victory with Jalen Hurts belly throwing 100 yards.
Yep.
Which is pretty good.
Chiefs are 0-2. That doesn't happen very often now. They are fortunate to be playing the Giants this weekend, so probably a good way to get back in the win column. But, yeah, man, 0-2 starts don't make the playoffs very often.
Hell no.
Luckily, we haven't had to talk about that all today because the Falcons won last night. Crazy stat, though. I know historically 11% of teams, only 11% of teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs.
Right.
It's worse than that since they've gone to expanded playoffs, since they added that extra wild card game. Mm-hmm. Two of the whatever teams that have started 0-2, and it's a lot of teams that have started 0-2, have made the playoffs. It's like down to 4%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You would think that it would be more with the expanded playoffs.
Right.
But in fact, no.
Wow.
It is less. Wow. So start 0-2, you have a 5% chance to make the playoffs.
Glad
we didn't start 0-2.
Daniel Jones didn't win again. How about that?
Did they? Oh, yeah.
And Bo Nix? Bo Nix won like a rookie now.
Well.
Yeah.
Who'd they lose
and
to?
Don't look now. Carolina's 0-2.
They are, and in like an ugly 0-2.
Yeah.
That's a good one to be playing this weekend.
Yeah.
Get to 2-1. That'd be a lot of fun. We got all week to talk about that. Coming up next, we will talk about what happened last night with you. The phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. We got 6 phone lines. We'll get to as many phone calls as we possibly can. The floor is yours. What did you take out of the Falcons' win last night over the Vikings on Sunday Night Football? We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game. 20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day, which is everybody won this weekend. Falcons won last night. Georgia beat Tennessee. Georgia Tech beat Clemson. The Dream won their first game of their playoff series against Indiana, so they're one win away from advancing in the playoffs. Even the Braves avoided sweep yesterday. The Braves won yesterday, too, so everybody won coming in on Monday on a victory Monday. So we'll get back into all of that, obviously spend as much time as we can on the Falcons, on Georgia, and on Georgia Tech in the 1 o'clock hour. But the phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. The floor is yours to sound off on what went on with the Falcons yesterday. And I'll say this, and I get it. Last week we opened the phone lines at 12:40 and had full phone lines before we went to break.
Oh yeah.
This week the Falcons won and we come back from break and there's only one person on hold. Do we not know how to be happy?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I'm pretty happy.
I don't know. I'm happy.
Feel pretty good about that.
Hell
win.
Yeah, it feels good that they didn't win.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with the one. We got one. It's all you need, I guess. Keaton is in Atlanta. Hey, Keaton.
Yo.
Hi, Keaton.
Hey guys. I want to apologize. I ain't got much of a voice. I was at the Georgia Tech Clemson game this last weekend, and I blew my vocal cords out when I went down there on the field and put that goalpost down and celebrated on the field.
Nice.
But I did notice I was keeping up with Mike Bell's tweets while I was watching the game last night, and he said something that I thought was funny and kind of true. I don't want to be a negative Nancy. I'm happy we won. The rookies look great. Michael Penix did his thing. More importantly, Bijan Robinson did his thing. But it seemed really one-dimensional all football game last night. Mike Bell said that Zach Robinson might be the stump of the Sean McVay football tree. I don't know how y'all feel about that. I'm trying to see that playbook get opened up a little bit more. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know Bijan Robinson is a monster. He's a menace. He cuts left. He cuts right. He breaks ankles. But man, it makes me wonder, does he trust our guys on the offense to get it done outside of just running the ball? And I'd love to hear what y'all have to say about that.
Okay, Keaton, thoughts on Zach Robinson's play calling?
I don't have a problem with it. I think that it's always something that's overblown if it's not working the way it's supposed to be. It just didn't work. But I don't think there's anything against – I don't have anything against him like most others. You know, I don't react to other people's opinions and tweets.
Yeah, I'm sure Mike will detail his thoughts in about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, he'll detail it. But, you know, you still have a young quarterback, too. You know, and I know a lot of people get into the whole under center pistol crap, which irritates me. But you remember you were with me last week. I texted one of my former coach who is a OC, explained to me about it and the advantages of the pistol and all those different things. But no, I don't believe that you don't not trust anybody on offense. If you're running a freaking ball, run the freaking ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
like I thought last week they could, that last week was not Zach Robinson's fault. They couldn't run the ball, period. But they threw. I thought the passing game was great. This week they ran the hell out of the ball because they didn't play against a defensive line like they played last week. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm not. I ain't ready to go there.
No, I mean, I thought the passing game and even like the play calling regarding the passing game in week one was really great. The run couldn't get going, and like you said, I mean, there's always a lot of different reasons for that. Run game worked yesterday, man. They were averaging 5.6 yards per carry. You're supposed to keep running it.
Exactly.
Now, their red zone inefficiency is something to look at for sure.
Right.
I don't know why do they bog down when they get down close to the end zone. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I mean, obviously you put play calling on it. Is the play calling being executed right? I mean, there's so many more things that go into a play than what people obviously see. You know, and I think a lot of times, and me and Dave talk about this all the time, being able to run the ball in the red zone helps.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps. That gives you different dynamics. It gives you a shorter field, a shorter down distance. And, you know, so I think that when you look at it from that standpoint, I'm not saying that Zach Robinson's called a perfect game because I do not believe that. But I don't think holding these guys back is something that I would say.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't say that.
Penix pretty well trusts everybody that he throws the football to.
Right.
And look, I mean, he only threw the ball 21 times yesterday. That's half as many times he threw it in week one.
Right.
That's good.
That's what he wanted.
The reason that he did that was because the run game was working so well.
Exactly.
And they were able to do what they wanted until they got to the red zone. And unfortunately, it bogged down a bit. And they're going to obviously have to improve that if they're going to win games against better teams as the season goes on. I mean, if there's anything that jumps out as like what was going on, it was that first drive when they looked completely disorganized.
Right.
And he couldn't hear them, and they're getting to the line. They have to call a timeout. They had to delay a game. It was a disaster.
Yes, it was awful.
That's tough to start
awful.
The game like that.
It was embarrassing.
I don't know whose fault that is or who you point the finger in terms of blame.
It's an embarrassing
situation.
But
that was bad.
Yeah, it's an embarrassing situation to be driving, need a timeout, then come back from the timeout and have a damn delay a game. That was embarrassing. That is unacceptable and an embarrassing thing for an NFL team to do, period. Hell, college football, you have a timeout, then you come back, and then you have a delay a game?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that. That's just that is awful. That is awful, but yet it did come to bite you in the ass because you end up winning the game.
Luckily.
Yeah. Yes.
There was definitely – we weren't alone thinking early in the game. It's like two field goals and a turnover on those drives. Huh?
Right.
Good as they're playing.
Yeah.
As good as the defense is doing, getting the Vikings off the field. 6-0. Feels like it could be a lot better than that.
Yeah.
6-0. Luckily, it didn't come back to bite him because J.J. McCarthy played terrible, and the Falcons made him play terrible, so ultimately it was okay. But, yeah, look, I mean, that's the good part about winning games like this is – it's a lot more comfortable to talk about the things that need to get cleaned up when you win 22-6 than when you miss a field goal at the end that would have put it to overtime and you want to talk about silver linings. No one wants to talk about silver linings. It's a lot more fun to nitpick when the final score was what it was. All right, Kevin's in Snellville. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good.
All right, good. Like, when I look at the game last night, I mean, it's some positives to come with it. I mean, you went against Brian Flores, who's, like, undefeated against second-year quarterbacks.
Yep.
And we scored 22 points. You know, I mean, it was tough. Don't get me wrong, like, you know, the score and stuff like that. But, I mean, like I said, we was going against a tough defense at home. Crowd was rocking. And we didn't even have a preseason. It's basically our second game with these guys. You know, these guys getting live-action football pretty much. Mooney, this is first game back. You know what I'm saying? So I look at it and I'm like, bro, we won 22-6. I mean, I'm clapping my hands like, okay, I think it's going to get better before it gets worse.
Right. I agree with that.
I mean, that's just the way I'm looking at it.
You should. I think that, you know, a lot of times you overthink and win sometimes. Like, but it should have been more than that. Yeah. But you won the damn game.
Yeah. 22-6.
Yeah. But you won the damn game. And I mean, that's the most important damn thing. because it's all about that, especially when you're coming off of a situation where you lost the previous week. To go up and win them, and it was not clean whatsoever. So I can sit up here and try to say, don't think about what didn't happen, because yeah, they need to score more touchdowns. But you went up there in a hostile environment and got a convincing win, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And the reason you did that was because of the way that the defense played.
Yeah, they put their ass off.
The offense was moving the ball until they got to the red zone, and then unfortunately getting field goals on those drives. At least they were getting field goals, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
5 of 5 for the field goal kicker, which, again, is nothing to sneeze at given where we're coming from and what a lot of the conversation was last week, a week ago today. They had to replace the guy. So we'll take that as well. I think we said this in the first segment, or at least we talked about it before the show. Last night's very much a game that in the past the Falcons have lost.
Yes.
And they didn't lose the game in large part because the run game was working so well and the defense was getting off the field. So, yeah, obviously there's a lot of things to clean up, but nice to get a win in the process.
Yeah.
Dexter is in Covington. Hey, Dexter.
What's up, guys? What's up? What's up, people?
Hey. How are you, Dexter?
Hey, man. I'm good.
Good.
Me personally, I'm going to take the win.
Yeah.
We could easily be 0-2. You know, Minnesota were hype, you know, coming off that win last week, you know, with J.J., but we put that thing on J.J. on that defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but, yeah, 6 sacks, we put that thing on him. But anyway, we got a kicker, did his job. A win is a win. We won and won.
Yep.
The offense ain't going to do nothing but get better, man. Defense, them young guys, they going to eat. And I think we're going to roll, man. I think we're going to roll. Y'all guys have a good day.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dexter.
Appreciate it, Dexter. Well, I mean, you still got – I mean, you're going in – they won the game. I know there's going to be a lot more of the red zone, which it should be, because they got to get better, and we understand that part about it. But I'm not going to play all this like, oh, but yeah, I can't. No, they won the damn game, you know, and they can get better. Just like Dexter was saying, they can get better at that. You know, who's to blame for what happened in the red zone? Everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can talk about play calling, but what – and it's always say it's more to it than just the play call. How was it executed? I'd said this before. I saw Michael Penn. I thought Michael could have just stayed with something a little bit longer instead of just throwing the check down a couple times. So there's gonna be so many different situations, but the one thing you got to do is continue to work at it. You know, they got to have an extra – if you got to have an extra red zone period this week, you got to score touchdowns in this damn football league when you're down there. Most teams, the best teams, they do that. The other best teams, they keep you out of the end zone and out of the red zone. And they keep you out of the end zone. They keep making field goals. They let Minnesota off the hook like 3 or 4 times last night.
Definitely. And that's the main thing, I think, in terms of that you want to get fixed coming out of the game. Again, like for me, looking at what they looked like week 1 and then what they looked like last night, there was some very specific stuff that you wanted to see improve from week 1 to week 2 that did.
Yes.
If the run game looks anything like it did last night, they're going to win a lot of games.
They're going to win a lot of games.
Now, look, you're not going to get 6 sacks every single Sunday. We understand that.
You get 2.
But you get a couple.
Yeah, you get a couple. Yeah.
And I have no reason to believe with the way that these guys look and the rotation that they're using, like they're bringing a ton of bodies that are effective.
Yes.
Like there's no reason to think they can't get 2 or 3.
No.
You know?
It's not.
If they do that, then you're going to win a lot of games. Like, last night's game had a lot of ingredients that this team has wanted and has been looking for years.
Yes.
Now, obviously, it had some things that you want to fix, too. But I don't know. I don't have a ton of doubts about what they're going to be able to do in the passing game as the season goes on.
No, because you think about I thought it was a good day passing last game. This game, it just wasn't, because they were running the ball the way they were. And what was Minnesota doing to take away some of those shots? They were playing up out of there, so that's why Mike had to take the more shorter routes. Thought he's doing a great job of taking the slants and those things like that. And those big plays will eventually open things up. They have not hit a big pass play yet.
No, they haven't.
You know, because teams are not allowing them to probably do it.
Right.
So once they start being a problem with the short intermediate, that brings – and then it's also the matchup. It's also the scheme that you play against.
Yeah.
Like,
I also think your #1 and #2 receivers last night were not
banged up.
They were not at full, whatever you want to call it. Like Drake's dealing with the shoulder. You could see it.
Yes.
You could see it in his play last night. He gutted through it and was okay, but wasn't what he normally is. And Mooney, first game he played all year. I mean, it was only 2nd game, but you know what I mean. Like, he missed a ton of preseason and looked rusty from that, too. So, I don't know. I think a lot of this stuff's explainable. Jacob is in Buford. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, what's going on?
How's
I just want to give a shout out to Terry Fontenot. the rookie class pop last night. Yes, I mean, from James Pierce to Jalen Walker, Xavier Wise, Bowman, they look great. Ruka Roro, you know, I know he made a play the year before. He looked good. I mean, that's I said they're the best young team in football. They looked like it last night. Big shout out to my Falcons. Please clean up the red zone so we can have an outstanding season this year. Thank you very much.
Appreciate
I appreciate it, Jacob. That's another one of the headlines, too, is that all four draft picks did something last night. Like, each of the defensive backs had an interception, and each of the pass rushers had a sack.
Yes, and then think about
That's
that.
That's pretty good.
Then think about what my man was just talking about. With Rook. Rook was basically a rookie this year.
Pretty much.
Brandon Dorless, same thing. A rookie this year.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're thinking all these young players that they drafted the past 2 years, all of them contributed. Mm-hmm. All of them were putting pressure on the and this is a group, and I know it's the second week. And so me and where you rank team stats in two games is just funny to me. Like, it's really funny to me. But at the same time, those five or six guys who we said coming to this season had to contribute to this team.
Yeah.
All did.
Yeah, new faces were the whole identity
all
of the defense.
Yes.
Yeah, and Harrison's been here, and he had some nice moments last night. Onyemata's been here, played good last night. But even free agent signings, like Leonard Floyd had a good game last night. Devon Diablo's been fantastic through 2 weeks.
Like, he's been awesome.
That's why it was so hard to analyze what you thought the defense was going to be coming into this year, because it was all rookies and free agents,
right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates, you know, everybody was new. A good one last night. A good one.
That was a nice win, man.
They made the young quarterback look young.
It was a nice win. And that's the most important thing you can do. That's usually what Flo does.
Because here's the other side. Like, we've made some young quarterbacks look good.
Hell yeah, we have. They made a guy look good, and he got there on Thursday.
Josh Dobbs beat the Falcons 2 years ago, and he played for him for 45 minutes with the same coach.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's, you know. 22-6 is a good final score.
Yeah.
You would have told me that before the game yesterday. I would have signed on the dotted line right then. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Obviously, back into what the Falcons were able to do against the Vikings. Georgia and Georgia Tech with really fun wins on Saturday as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.